Some years ago, when I was in my late 30s, it was a Friday in spring, as I recall, and I thought I was having a heart attack. My heart had been racing and pounding unusually for several days. I couldn't sleep well at night, and it was getting worse. And so I drove myself to the ER, to Seven Oaks Hospital. They gave me a couple of baby aspirin, an EKG, and an X-ray. And afterwards, I was in the ER. I had my lovely wife by my side, and the doctor came in, and I was waiting for some terrible news. And he basically told me, he said, "You're fine. You look fine. Everything looks okay. It's time to go home." And of course, I went home feeling a little bit foolish. Did I imagine that? Or was my heart really pounding faster than normal? At any rate, my doctor sent me for something called a stress test. It's just something that you do in this situation. You know, you go make an appointment, and they stick electrodes all over your body, and you jog on an inclined treadmill for a while, and they test the health of your heart. And even though this whole experience made me feel a little bit awkward, a little bit foolish, I was glad for the test, because the results showed that my heart was perfectly fine. It gave me something clear and concrete and real for me to see about my own heart. In the Bible, in a related way, says that God tests the heart, not the physical organ that pumps blood through our body, but rather the heart, speaking of the heart as our inner being, as the people that we are. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter, third verse, we read these words: "A crucible for silver and a smelter for gold, and the Lord is the tester of hearts." The book of Proverbs is all about living wisely in this world under God. And we see this word heart repeated over and over and over again, not the physical organ in our chest, but rather who we are as people, the mind, the will, the desires, the ambition of a person. That's what the heart means when we read it in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere in the Old Testament. Your heart is who you really are. And we speak about our own hearts this way all the time, right? Not only as the physical organ inside us that keeps us alive, but we speak about our hearts as who we are as people. So, for example, when I tell my wife, "I love you with all my heart," that doesn't mean I love you with my left and right ventricle, but rather I love you with all that I am. And that's the sense of heart here in this verse. And we see here in this verse that the Lord is the tester of our hearts, our inner being, our inner person. And when we see throughout Scripture that the Lord tests His people, we see that He does so for some very important reasons. And there are three aspects to this heart test that are important for us to understand. If we don't understand these tests that come, if we don't understand that the Lord tests our heart, then when the times of testing come, we'll be unprepared. We'll be caught off guard. We might get angry. We might get impatient. We might give in to unbelief. We don't want to do that. So let's understand this proverb. Three things to see here. Number one, who tests hearts? Number two, how hearts are tested? And then number three, why hearts are tested. So number one, who tests hearts? The answer is the Lord. The Lord is the one who tests hearts. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 3. This is the text we're looking at. "A crucible for silver and a smelter for gold, and the Lord is the tester of hearts." Now, in the context, if you look at the verse right before that one, it says that a prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son and share an inheritance among brothers. In other words, it's saying that leadership is more dependent on character than on natural birth. In fact, in this chapter 17, you see all kinds of different characters here, good, both good and bad. And we see here in this verse that the Lord is the tester of all those characters. The Lord is the tester of all those hearts. Now, who is the Lord? There is nothing more important. In this verse we're looking at, there is not one word that is more important than this word, this name, the Lord. And behind that name, translated as Lord in our English Bibles, usually it's in all caps, all capitals, is the Hebrew name Yahweh. In fact, that was a name that the Hebrews wouldn't even pronounce because it was so viewed as so holy. It's also known as the name Jehovah. It's the name by which God revealed himself to his people as the I Am. In other words, as the self-existent and eternal God. It's the name by which God revealed himself as holy, as incomparable. There's nobody like him. He's the only God. He's a God like no other. His name is like no other name, and he deserves all of our praise, and he deserves all glory like no other name. So God revealed himself to Israel in this way as the Lord, the I Am, the God who is. But he also revealed himself to Israel as the God who redeems. Who redeems his people, who makes a covenant, who makes promises to them, and promises that if they will obey him, that he will bless them as his redeemed people, that so that they can live for his glory. So when we understand who the Lord is, we realize that he alone, as creator and as redeemer, is uniquely qualified to test the hearts of people, to test the human heart. In other words, the Lord alone, he can weigh the motivations of our hearts. He alone can perceive the secrets of our hearts. He alone is the only true and accurate judge of all that goes on in our hearts. Have you ever heard someone say something like, "Hey, you can't judge my heart, only God can"? Well, that's true. That is absolutely true. Perhaps more frighteningly true than we even realize. In fact, in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 13, we read this about God. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The Lord who tests the heart is the same Lord to whom every heart is accountable. And for that reason, there is nothing more important than that you and I have a right relationship with this God, with this Lord who knows our hearts. I mean, there are things in my heart, there are things in your heart that probably you would be ashamed to tell for anyone else to know about. But the truth is, God sees our hearts. He perceives our thoughts from afar, the scripture says. And the Bible also says that there's going to come a day where we have to give an account to this God who sees everything. And on that day, what will he see? Will he see all of our sin naked and exposed before his pure and piercing holy gaze? Or will he see us clothed with the righteousness of Christ, his son? You know, the gospel, the good news is that even though we're bad and our hearts are worse than we realize, we deserve God's judgment for not only the sins of our speech and our actions, but the sins of the heart. And yet the good news is that in love, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who had a pure, absolutely pure and perfect heart, and he substituted himself for us. He died on the cross for sinners so that by faith and repentance toward him, our hearts can be cleansed, our hearts can be made new, we can be forgiven and clothed with his righteousness before God. That is the gospel, and we can respond to that by responding to Jesus Christ and saying yes to him and receiving him as the Lord and Savior of our hearts, of who we are. And not only that, but the good news is that when we turn and trust in Jesus Christ, we can know that this Lord, the Lord who is, the I Am, is now on our side, that we have a right relationship with him. When we know the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ, then we don't need to be terrified of testing. Why? Because we can see it as an opportunity to know God more. We can see it as an opportunity to grow in God more. We can also see it as an opportunity to become wiser. And that's what Proverbs is all about, right? Proverbs, in which we find this verse, is about living wisely in God's world. And if we want to live wisely, we first need to fear God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we need to give our hearts to him that he can, so that he might shape and refine them as he desires. So we've seen, first of all, who tests hearts? The Lord. Number two, let's look at how hearts are tested. A crucible for silver and a smelter for gold, and the Lord is the tester of hearts. So how are hearts tested? Well, the answer is by a fiery process. And there's a comparison here. In the same way that a crucible and smelter are used for testing silver and gold, so the Lord is the tester of hearts. Now, we got to know something about those things. The crucible and smelter were used in ancient times, as they still are today. And it might be stating the obvious, but you don't find gold bricks and silver spoons existing in nature on their own. You have to find the gold and silver, which are often in raw form. They're found in ore. They're mixed in with other elements. And so smelting is the process by which gold or silver or other metals can be separated from the ore in which they're found using this process of intense heat. And so the crucible was the pot, often made of clay, in which these materials were melted down, tested and refined. And then the smelter was the furnace that from which you got the enormous intense heat that was needed for the process. And so crucible and smelter were used to test what something was really made of, to separate the pure from the impure, what is valuable from what is not valuable, what is precious from what can be discarded. You know, the other day I was in the backyard with my kids, and one of my boys, he split a rock open, and he showed me what was inside the rock. He's like, "Look, Dad, there's something shiny in the rock. Is it a diamond? Is it gold? Is it silver? You know, can we sell it and buy a Lamborghini?" We don't know. If we had a crucible and smelter in our backyard, maybe we could find out. But we don't know, right? What is this thing really made of? Well, this verse teaches us that the Lord will test his people to reveal what they are really made of. Just as silver and gold are tested and refined by this intense heat, this fiery process, so the Lord tests hearts by an intense and fiery process of his own, one of great skill and care and precision. You know, sometimes our hearts are tested by success. In fact, later on in Proverbs, it speaks of how a person is tested by his praise. Well, that's interesting. God at times pours blessings into our lives, and how we respond to those blessings will show what kinds of people we are. In fact, I was reading one commentator who said that, you remember the songs that the crowds sang about King Saul and David, right? They sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." So this commentator said that what those songs did was that they threw both of those men into a crucible of testing because of their successes. But the comparison in this verse really, I think, lends itself to the fact that the Lord tests hearts in ways that are often painful and often difficult. In other words, God brings about situations and circumstances in our lives that are like fire, and they test our mettle, so to speak. They test who we are. Now, it's important to know the difference between testing and tempting, right? God tests, Satan tempts. God tests us for our good, Satan tempts us for our harm. And yet, as we see, if you remember the book of Job, even those diabolical schemes of Satan are under the sovereign control of God, so that even after all that Job experiences, Job is able to say about the Lord, Job chapter 23, verse 10, he says, "When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." You know, it took a long time for Job to be able to say that and to understand that. So much of what God, in fact, what God was doing was completely hidden from him. And that's part of, I think, what the greatest test is for some of us, is that we just don't know exactly what God is doing. We don't know why things are happening. We don't know why we are suffering. And so we have to be very careful and humble about the conclusions that we come to about specific sufferings in our lives and in the lives of others. And yet we know that God tests his people and that his testing is meant to purify us. It means going under the fire. Job certainly did. He wasn't told why he suffered, and it wasn't revealed to him why, and yet God revealed himself to Job through those times. Job saw who God was, and that became enough for him. I think the circumstances that we're in right now, for many of us, this is a time when we're being tested in different ways. Our faith is being tested. Our relationships with even family members are being tested. Our relationships in the church will be tested. Our attitudes are tested. Our hearts are being tested. And so is it possible that during this time, the Lord intends for us to examine our hearts, that the Lord intends to expose some things in us that are worthless, to expose sin in us, to purify us so that we will be more useful to him, so that we will bring more honor and glory to him in the way that we live. Listen to, again, what the Apostle Peter, who went through severe tests, what he wrote to believers in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He says to Christians who are struggling, he says, "You rejoice in this," in their salvation. "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our hearts are tested by a fiery process, but that is meant ultimately to purify us and to bring glory to Christ. So we've seen, first of all, who tests hearts? The Lord. Second, we've seen how hearts are tested by a fiery process. Now, third, let's look at why hearts are tested. Number three, why hearts are tested. "A crucible for silver, a smelter for gold, and the Lord is the tester of hearts." Now, it's not explicit in this verse why this is all happening, but it's implied by the purpose of what's happening. That would have been understood by ancient readers, right? We've already touched on this, but the purpose of smelting was to reveal and refine the final object, which is to be something highly valuable and precious. And so with that comparison in mind, we can understand that the Lord tests hearts for the same reason that a smelter smelts the gold, to reveal what's there and to refine what's there in order to end up with something pure and precious and useful. So the Lord tests hearts to reveal who we are and to refine who we are. And that's clear, in many places in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Moses tells the people of Israel, just before they were to enter the promised land, he says, "Remember the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." The wilderness wanderings were what? They were a means of testing, of revealing. And what did the test reveal? It revealed a whole lot of rebellion in their hearts, didn't it? I mean, they were complaining. They had been redeemed out of Egypt, and they were complaining like, "Hey, maybe we should go back to Egypt," because at least they had like cucumbers there. You know, it revealed, their time in the desert revealed all the ways that the people did not love and trust in the Lord with all their hearts. Now, when Moses tells the people that God humbled and tested them to know what was in their hearts, we got to be really clear about something. We got to be clear that the test was really not for God's benefit, but for theirs. In other words, it's not that God tests people because he doesn't know what's in them. It's not like a test you get in school. Some of you are perhaps looking forward, or maybe not looking forward, to tests that are coming up. Exams. And so when you get tested in school, there are at least two reasons for that. Number one, the teacher needs to know how much you've learned. Number two, you need to know how much you've learned. Now, when God tests the hearts of people, it is not for the first reason. It's not, you know, so that he knows what's in our hearts, because he already knows what's there. He knows everything. He sees everything. It's for the benefit of our knowing what's in our hearts that we are tested. God tests us to reveal who we are, not to him, but to ourselves. Also, perhaps to others around us who are observing our lives, whether that's a family member or a friend, or even in, as in the case of Job, revealing to Satan himself who we really are, that we're the real deal, that we are God's children. And so the Lord's purpose in testing hearts is to reveal who we are. And you know, that can be such a humbling thing, can't it? It can be a traumatic thing. As so many people in the history of God's people have experienced in their lives, and I myself have experienced in various times, and am experiencing now in certain ways, and I'm sure perhaps some of you are as well. The truth is that God knows every one of our hearts right down to the bottom. He knows our hearts better than we do ourselves. Just for example, if you know how the church, we have a church directory. I hope you have one. It's a good thing to have, especially now, phoning people and praying for people in the church, emailing and keeping in touch. But if the Lord were to take our church directory in his hands, so to speak, right? I mean, we could look through those names and say, I think I know how that person's doing, and I think they have a good heart, and we could see some things. I mean, we do see people's actions, right? I mean, we are called to judge not hypocritically, but humbly. You know, we're called to judge a tree by its fruit. Even as a church, right? We're called to receive those who we have reason to believe are Christians into membership of our church, and church discipline requires that we make assessments about the actions of people, but we can't see the heart. Right? We can see the kind of tree from the fruit, but we can't see inside that tree. We can't see inside the hearts of people, but God can. And so if God were to look through our church directory, I mean, he knows everything. He knows which of those hearts belong to him and which don't. He knows which hearts are truly born again and which are not. He knows which hearts are cleansed and which hearts are filthy. God knows which hearts are humble and which hearts are proud. He knows which hearts are repentant and which hearts are unrepentant. He knows which hearts are concealing sin and which hearts are confessing sin. He knows it all. He sees it all. And yet, what a mercy it is when he reveals it to us. Now, sometimes the thing we need most is for God to show us our own heart. Not so that we would be broken beyond repairs, but so that we can be healed in Christ. So that we can come to him in repentance and faith and be restored. And be restored. You know, what a mercy it is when God shows me the things in my heart, both the good and bad, right? What is pleasing to him and what is displeasing to him. Parts of my heart that are submitted to him and parts of my heart that are not submitted to him. You know, because Jesus went to the cross for us, we can face the truth about our hearts. We don't need to run from God in testing, right? We can know that because of Jesus' heart for us, we can receive mercy from God's heart, that we can know that he will never reject anyone who comes to him in Jesus' name with a humble and repentant heart. Remember David when he was busted, he was caught in all of his terrible sin. Psalm 51, David prayed to the Lord after all of his sins were exposed. He said, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So the Lord tests hearts in order to reveal them, but he also tests hearts in order to refine them, as we've already seen. The prophet Malachi spoke of the coming Messiah, Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, and he says this, he says, "He will be like a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Then they will present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." Or the prophet Zechariah speaking on the Lord's behalf, he said, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, I will put this third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. You see how God both reveals and refines as he tests his people to show what is in them, to refine them, to purify them, to make them more like the heart of his son, Jesus Christ. Why? Why does he do this? So that we can live in a way that brings honor and glory to him. So what does this all mean? I mean, if the Lord is the tester of hearts, what does that mean for us today? How should we respond to that truth in our lives, like this afternoon? I want to give you just a few points of practical application as we close here. Because the Lord tests hearts, number one, we must get our hearts right before him. There's nothing more important than that, right? So be honest about what is in your heart. No matter what ugliness you find there, there's an opportunity for you to come to God in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and by his grace to be forgiven and to be in a right relationship with him. We do that when we turn from sins and trust in Jesus as the only one who can rescue us from our own hearts, as the only one who can rescue us from the judgment to come, as the only one who can redeem us and bring us back to God. We must get our hearts right before him. Number two, we must listen to him. Because the Lord tests hearts, we must listen to him. Because God is the only true heart specialist. We should pay more attention to the words that he speaks than the words that we speak or anybody else says. The truth is, the sin in our hearts both deceives us and also distorts the way we see everything around us. And so because all of the words that we hear in this world come out either out of our own hearts or the hearts of other people that are at least in some sense corrupted by sin, only God's words are truly reliable and trustworthy and pure and perfect, both in this life and the life to come. And so read your Bible and listen to what God says and believe it and obey it for the sake of your heart. Number three, because the Lord tests hearts, we shouldn't try and do his job for him. Very practically, we can't judge the hearts of people. We are not equipped to do that. We are not qualified to do that. In fact, we're not even qualified to fully judge our own hearts. And therefore, we should leave that to God. And practically speaking, that means that, for example, these days we see people walking around, some with masks on and some without. You know, when you see someone with a mask on, you shouldn't assume it's because they're fearful, right? You shouldn't judge their heart. When you see someone who's not wearing a mask, you shouldn't assume that they're careless just because they're not, because you can't see their heart. And so when it comes to that, or when it comes to all kinds of other things we see around us in the lives of others, we have to be very careful not to judge the hearts of those around us and to leave that to God. Only the Lord truly knows what's in a person's heart. And so let's leave that to him. Number four, we must endure heart tests with him. Because the Lord is the tester of hearts, we must endure heart tests with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. That is with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ passed every test. He passed the test in the wilderness. He passed the ultimate test of the cross. He passed the test of living a sinless life in our place, so that by faith in him and with him, we can endure every test that comes our way. We can stay faithful to him with his help. And so don't get discouraged. Don't get impatient. Don't quit in unbelief. Keep going in faith. Don't give up in despair. Carry on in hope, because he will enable us to endure. By his grace, we must endure heart tests with him. Number five, and finally, we can rest our hearts in him. Because the Lord is the tester of hearts, we can rest our hearts in Him. If we belong to God in Jesus Christ as his children, then we can rest. We can relax. Even when life is uncertain, even when bad things are happening, even when we don't understand the reasons why we're experiencing what we are experiencing, we can bring our weary, anxious, exhausted hearts to find rest in Him. What did Jesus say in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29? He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Look, when life doesn't make sense, as is the case for so many of us right now, it's essential that we learn to rest our hearts in Christ and in the Father's love for us. This time will test us. It is testing us. This time is testing our family relationships. It's testing our church. It's testing our wisdom. It's testing our patience. It's testing our hearts. And so as we close, let's pray. And let's use the words of David, who is called a man after God's own heart. Would you pray along with me these words from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there be any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." Amen.